This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
And this cigar is going a double as they turn for home with 3 furlongs to go. The Carrier tries to make a race of it. Cigar the Star sleeve jacket. Yellow Spies, here comes Pentire. A Dame Wing can fight no more. Soul of the Havana has made Triumph stride through. But Cigar goes for home.
That's the way it sounded in 1996. Cigar putting the Dubai World Cup on the map right from the start with his win in the inaugural running. Is the Dubai World Cup still as popular as it was back then? We're going to talk about that and much more on today's edition of I Ask, They Answer. Plus, would it be the right or wrong decision for breeders to foot the bill on an industry-wide PR campaign? And which jockey-trainer combinations do Dale and Tim consider to be some of the greatest of all time? All of those topics and much, much more are straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, and all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
All right, guys, plenty to talk about on this Saturday morning. We're going to start with this one. Which of the following stakes races later today will ultimately have the most significant impact on their respective divisions this year? And we'll start with the older horse races that are taking place at both Gulfstream and at Oaklawn. You have the Ghost Sapper Stakes at Gulfstream. You have the Oaklawn Mile in the older horse division at Oaklawn Park. Tim, let's start with you, my friend. What do you think? Is it going to be the Ghost Sapper or the Oaklawn Mile that will have the biggest impact on that older horse division going forward?
Do I really got to pick one of these? You know, it's
flip a coin.
It's the Oaklawn Mile. It's intriguing a little bit because you got a lot of horses coming off layoffs, most notably Last Samurai, who had a really good year last year. He's won over a couple million dollars, and we haven't seen him since the Whitney. Silver Prospector for Steve Asmussen, the old war horse at 7, and he's had a pretty neat career at Oaklawn. Midnight Rising, unbeaten in 2 tries on turf. But, I mean, I don't think any of these horses in that race are going to get the juices flowing in the older horse division as we move forward. And I kind of think the same thing about the Ghost Sapper. It's always good to have rivalries in horse racing. And two of the horses in this race, Tumba Rumba and Steel Sunshine, have had a nice little rivalry down in Florida going at each other in the Gulfstream Park Mile and the Hooper. But I don't see either of these races as having a great significance moving forward in the older horse division. That's just the way I see it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of these horses have jumped the shark and have reached their tipping point, I think, in these two races. But, you know, I'll take a couple of at Oaklawn. I think Dennington could come on and be a nice horse by the end of the year. And I'm going to go with Tumarumba being a contender as he goes forward. I'm going to take these four-year-olds, young ones, up and coming and see if they can go on and have an impact later in the year. If I had to pick one of these two races, I'd probably go with Oaklawn. I think Dennington's got the most upside of the horses in both races.
It's interesting, guys. And what led me to ask you this question, we're going to do this with a couple other races here in just a minute too, but what led me to bring this up to you was when I started looking back 30 years ago on the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby, and I saw that Concern won the Arkansas Derby that year. Holy Bull won the Florida Derby, and we know what happened with their careers. They both turned out to be really good. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is that you don't know what you're watching here today, right? You could be watching greatness and not even know it, just like we did 30 years ago in 1994.
You're right. Same thing like when Cigar beat Holy Bull. I mean, we didn't know that was his coming out party that day at Gulfstream Park. And I mean, Holy Bull ended up getting hurt in the race, but that was Cigar's coming out party. So it's interesting to watch what's going on today and then at the end of the year look back. We ought to have a segment at the end of the year looking back on some of these races where the horses had their breakthrough race.
Mm. Yeah,
but then we might look stupid by not saying the right things.
Hey, it wouldn't be our first time.
How about the Gulfstream Park Oaks or the Fantasy Stakes at Oaklawn? Which of those races for three-year-old fillies, Tim Wilkin, do you think is going to have a bigger impact on the division going forward?
I kind of like the Gulfstream Park Oaks because there's a filly in here that I'm really looking forward to seeing, the Chad Brown-trained Ways and Means, who's 8-5 on the morning line. I mean, Ways and Means hasn't been seen since last summer at Saratoga when she was second in the spinaway at 2-5. She got hurt in that race, chipped an ankle. And this filly broke her maiden by 12 earlier in the meet. You know, this is an ambitious spot for Chad to bring her back in, but he wants to get her, give her every chance that he can to make the Kentucky Oaks. And, you know, this is a 100-point race for first place. And, you know, this horse obviously has talent. And I think that horse it has the potential to leapfrog over everyone and be the top of the division. I think she's that good. There's other horses in here that have been on the trail. Fiona's Magic already has 60 points, third on the leaderboard. And that horse is trained by Michael Yates. They won the Vona Dale at 9-1. And Yates, last year, you remember, had a horse named Darth Vader, who won that race, the Vona Dale, at 46-1. So that's kind of an interesting story in itself. But then the fantasy... I mean, Dwayne Lucas is Lemon Muffin, won the Honeybee at 28-1. I think that she's a little bit interesting. Kenny McPeak's Torpedo Anna, West Omaha's in here. But because of the presence of Chad's horse, Ways and Means, I point to the Gulfstream Park Oaks in this one.
Yeah, I'm really interested in watching Ways and Means run. I mean, we know the hype that went around her at Saratoga, and she lived up to it in her first race. Like I said, she got hurt the second time out. And for Chad to come back in this type of race, I mean, he's got to be fast-tracking her to the Oaks. He must think a whole lot of her. She's one of the most interesting horses on the whole day of racing across the country. And the fantasy, I don't know. These horses got to prove themselves. I mean, Torpedo Annie, I like her a lot. Hopefully she comes, but she's making her first start of the year, too. Hopefully she can jump up and run big and take them to the Kentucky Oaks. But all my focus will be watching Ways and Means.
Yeah, Dale's right. It's going to be fun to look back on our comments regarding these races as we make our way through the rest of 2024, get to the end of the year, and see which race provided us with the biggest impact in these respective divisions. Tim, how about the Florida Derby or the Arkansas Derby? Which of those races will have the most significant impact on the three-year-old male division?
I'm going to say both of them are equals in that regard. I mean, there's some really intriguing storylines in both. I mean, you've got Hades, who's all he's done is be 3-for-3 for his career, and he's the 7-2 third choice behind Fierceness, who runs good, runs bad, runs good, runs bad. If that form holds true, he's going to run a good one today. And you also have the Shug McGahee's Conquest Warrior, who was, won a first level allowance by 5 lengths at Gulfstream. That's his second win this year. And there's a lot of buzz about that horse. that horse could be any kind. And, you know, that's, you know, for Shug to enter in a big race, you know, he's got something. He doesn't just show up to these races. And then in Arkansas, I mean, Timberlake, who, you know, this is part of the classic, what have you done for me lately? We haven't seen him since February when he won the Rebel. But he's 9-5 in this race. Muth from Bob Baffert, who was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year. Of course, he can't, you know, he wins, he can't win because he doesn't get the point. He's not allowed to go to the Derby. And I'm interested to see what Kenny McPeak's Mystic Dan does in this spot. You know, see what when he won the Southwest in the Mud by 8 lengths. There's quality animals in both these races. I mean, if I had to pick one, I'm going to give a very, very slight edge to the Florida Derby.
Yeah, I think today is the most interesting day of racing we've had all year. There's so many storylines and so many horses that are going to be interesting to watch, and a lot will be sorted out today. But I agree with you. I think Florida Derby is the race. I told you last week, Conquest Warrior was one of my Final Fours and maybe my Derby pick. I really like this horse. He's a big, beautiful horse, $1 million yearling. And he's I like the fact that he improved off of his maiden, won by a half length, the maiden come back from about 5 going to 8. I think in fierceness, you know, what's he going to jump up and do? But they're both equal. You keep it's splitting hairs to pick which one of these two races is going to produce the best horses later in the year. But I'm a big fan of this Conquest Warrior. I played golf with Shug on Wednesday. He took me and Terry Finley down to Indian Creek. We had a great day, and I know he's high on the horse. And I asked him this morning, so when is he going to Kentucky? He said, I'll let you know tomorrow. Let's see what happens with Conquest Warrior.
Who won the golf match?
We all played pretty well. I mean, but I'm going to tell you what, that is a piece of paradise. Anybody ever been to Indian Creek? And it's most beautiful, one of the most beautiful golf courses I've ever been on. It's surrounded by billionaires all the way around, from Tom Brady to Ivanka Trump to Jersey Mike guy. Everybody's house on the course is just amazing. It was a special day.
Who picked up lunch?
Hey, Shook took care of everything. He said the day was on him. So I have to take him to my little club, Ottoman Country Club, when we get to Kentucky. It won't be quite Indian Creek, but we'll have fun.
Tim, he never mentioned the winner of the golf tournament.
I guess he didn't win then.
No, we don't talk about it. We had fun. Let's just say that.
How many balls you lose?
At Indian Creek, I didn't lose a ball. I actually played pretty good at Indian Creek. Everybody played pretty well. At the golf tournament, not so good. I lost about a half a dozen. But we had fun.
That's the key, just to have fun.
Yeah, I'd be happy with a round of golf where I only lost a half a dozen balls. I would consider that a success.
Yeah, there's not near as much water on those courses in Kentucky, and I'll be home next week.
No alligators either.
None, no. Might all get right. A rabid squirrel, but that'd be about it.
Moving on to our next topic, and we're going to have some fun with this one too, guys. You have jockey Flavien Prat and trainer Brad Cox, who have been really a dynamic combination in big races the past few years. Last weekend, they teamed up to win both the Fairgrounds Oaks and the Louisiana Derby. Today, the duo looks to capture the Arkansas Derby with Timberlake. So looking back through history, what are some of the great jockey trainer tandems you can recall? Dale, you want this one first?
Yeah, I'll take it. I said there's been so many over the years, and I like to keep track of that stuff. But I'll tell you, you can go all the way back to Jimmy Ben Jones and Eddie Arcaro, the old Calumet days, how they teamed up to win a lot of races. One of my favorites was in the Ireland with Lester Pickett and Vincent O'Brien, how many races they all won together. You can come over here and look at riders like Jerry Bailey and Bill Mott, how they dominated for a long period of time. And Jerry Hollendorfer and the all-time leading rider helped me here. I can't think of his name.
Russell Bayes.
Russell Bayes, yes. Russell Bayes, how they dominated. And, you know, there's been so many good teams and combinations, but those are the ones off the top of my head.
Well, you took most of mine, but I'll forge on. Bill Shoemaker and Charlie Whittingham had a phenomenal relationship during their careers. They won over, I think it's over 200 stakes races together. They dominated California racing. And, you know, look at recently, John Velasquez and Todd Pletcher. They mopped up in New York for several years, and Johnny still rides for Todd, but maybe Irad Ortiz has sort of replaced him as the go-to guy. But Irad is also rides a lot for Chad Brown. And the different riders that they, you know, the are there really any guys that just ride for one outfit anymore? I don't think so. You know, back in the days with Dale mentioned Eddie Arcaro with the Jones boys. I mean, it's Eddie rode four of Ben Jones's Derby winners, including two Triple Crown winners. So, you know, there's a lot of riders that, I mean, Angel Cordero wrote for Dwayne Lucas. He wrote for Chuck McGee. Pat Day wrote for Chuck McGee and had some great success with them. And then, you know, maybe one of the all-time best ones that is known to a lot of people only because of the cinema was Red Pollard and Tom Smith with Seabiscuit. I mean, I don't know how much he rode for Tom Smith, but those three were, they were linked together for all time because of the great career that they had with Seabiscuit. So, yeah, there's been an awful lot of them.
I'll give you one that probably gets lost in the shuffle, maybe under the radar. How about Shane Sellers and Frankie Brothers?
Good combination. You're right. They teamed up with a lot of good horses.
Yeah, they had it rolling for a while. Maybe more in more recent years, well, really the last year or two, Junior Alvarado and Bill Mott have been hot together too.
Yep, for sure. Bill Mott's always had his house rider, whether it be Mike Smith, and he's actually one who brought Mike Smith to New York, and they had a great run together. Then Jerry Bailey and Bill Mott, and now Junior and Bill.
Dale, did you have a go-to guy ever?
Pat Day. Pat Day was my man. We racked up a lot of wins together in a lot of big races. And I think I always credit Pat for helping elevate my career because I was just getting going, and he took a liking to me. And he was the best rider in the country, I thought. And he started riding all my horses. And anytime you put your name next to a guy like that, it gave you instant credibility.
Is there something to it, or isn't it anymore, where you really have a one go-to guy?
I've always had tried to have one in the barn. You know, it was Pat Day at first, and then Craig Perrett for a while, and Mark Guidry and I teamed up and won a whole lot of races, and Al Barato. But I like the guys going out there knowing they can ride their race. They're not going to get fired. They're not going to – I might bitch a little bit after a race, but I'll apologize later. And they can go out there and ride with their gut and ride a good race and not be thinking and worried about what's going to happen after.
Do you have more comfort – from a trainer's standpoint, when you got a guy that you use a lot, knowing that
always did, and they know get to know the horses. And I think riding a whole lot of riding is like golf; is very mental. And Pat Day's the one that told me, so don't give me too many instructions. Let me ride my race, and he knew he was never going to get fired after a race. So I think they go out there and ride relaxed, and they ride a lot better. When you go out there tense, and you're worrying about getting yelled at afterwards or being fired out of the stable, it definitely would take its toll.
Flavian Pratt was with me earlier, and I asked him about being in the zone when he's winning all of these races, and he said he's just on good horses, and every jockey has always told me it's the horse that's underneath you that gives you the confidence. But, Dale, you have to have some talent as a rider, because you could have a really good horse, and if the rider doesn't have talent, they can still get that horse beat, can't they?
You have to have talent. And like Pat used to say, well, they all rode about rad bad races. The great ones just ride less bad races. And, you know, when you get to that level like Irad is or Flavian, you can just ride with such confidence because you're not worrying about it. If your horse stumbles leaving the gate and you're dead last, you can just sit there and wait and try to finish up and get what you can. Instead of, if you're nervous about what's going on, you might pick your horse up and try to rush into the race real quick and make one mistake turn into four mistakes. And I think confidence is a big part of it. But there's so many good young riders out there, and they're all good people, too. It's a good group of jockeys around the country right now. And you could go 20 deep if they were riding IRAD's horses. I mean, IRAD earned the right to ride those horses. If they were riding them now, they'd be winning exactly the same.
Yeah, IRAD and Chad Brown. There's another great combination.
Yep.
100%. All right, well, let's move on to topic number three. We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left in this edition of I Ask, They Answer, so we'll move right along. The $12 million Dubai World Cup is set to be contested in a little more than 2 hours. Does it feel like that race still has the same buzz and the level of popularity as when it was first run in 1996? Timmy, what do you think?
I think it doesn't. And trust me, I'll watch the race because I always want to watch the big races. But you know, it just seems to me that it gets and great. It's a great purse, and it's an international flavor, but it just seems that it gets lost in the shuffle a little bit because of the Derby preps that are going on. You know, you got the Arkansas Derby and the Florida Derby, and this race is so early in the day. And, you know, the star power, I don't think is there anymore. At least it's not last few years. I mean, the U.S. horses that won it in the last couple of years, Country Grammar and Mystic Guide, the Japanese won it last year with Ushba Tesoro, who's going to try to win it this year. You know, I just don't think it has the same oomph that it had when California Chrome and Arrogate and Cigar, were those kind of horses were running in it.
I think it probably still has it on the world stage. And maybe it hasn't been the last few years around here. But, you know, if we have a big horse going over there that's taking his big resume with a big following, it'll bounce right back. It might have been a little low for U.S. in the last few years, but it's a great race.
One last thing on that. I was looking up how many people watch these big events, and the Dubai World Cup isn't in the top 20. Kentucky Derby is 12th, and I'm going to give you guys a little quiz. If you guys can get number three, I'm going to buy you both dinner. The top one is World Cup Soccer with 5 billion viewers. Tour de France was second with 3.5 billion. If you guys can tell me what was third last year, you're both getting a free dinner.
Mm. The Masters.
I'll go you with lose. The Super Bowl.
You lose, too. It's the Cricket World Cup.
But there's a Cricket World Cup?
I guess so. Yeah, I did not know
the
that.
Most popular sport in the world, isn't it? Because all you got to do is count India and Turkey and Asia. There's as many people as they have. They all love cricket.
Yeah. Soccer. Isn't soccer the number one sport in the world?
It's world between Cup. Soccer world and soccer. Cricket on view.
Tour yeah. de France and World Cup Soccer. World Cup Soccer's first. Tour de France second. World
wow.
Cup Soccer
I know
when, men. The women is farther down.
I know when World Cup soccer is going on, I have to put a TV in the shed row or my grooms will all be in the tack room.
That's the yeah. one time of the year I'll watch soccer is during the World Cup. I enjoy that.
That's one more time when I watch
cricket. It. Yeah, me too.
All right, well, a couple more topics to get to, including our good friend Nick Zito, who we get to hear from right now. And you get to tell me if the following statement is right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, just one right or wrong topic. We'll see what Dale and Tim have to say on this one. Lincoln Collins of Kern Thoroughbreds is calling for breeders to fund a PR campaign for the horse racing industry. Collins said in an article published on Bloodhorse this past week, "We create the animals, and if we don't act soon, there won't be any more horse racing and tragically no reason to breed racehorses. If we can't afford to pay $1,000 to qualify our foals as thoroughbreds and safeguard their futures, then we probably shouldn't be breeding them in the first place." Is Lincoln Collins right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Dale, what do you think?
Well, I think they should participate in the industry-wide funding of something of that nature, because we got to do something. We got to have a PR program out there. You know, we had one. NTRA was supposed to be strictly PR, and it went political on us. We need to get something going. I think we should all contribute, whether it be purse accounts, racetracks, ADW platforms. That's a place where there's a lot of money that needs to be tapped into, these ADW platforms. And the breeders all should contribute into one fund to promote the game, get the word out on what's right and wrong, get rid of a lot of bad rumors.
you know, I get where he's coming from, but I could just see the breeder saying, "Oh man, you want more money out of us?" There's a place for this, but I don't know if you can just stick it all in the breeders. It's you know, that's it's a noble gesture. I don't know if it's the right one to go to the breeders and say we got to do it, but you know, that's it seems like everybody wants money, man, and I don't know if it's necessarily the right thing to just say the breeders got to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the idea of an industry-wide PR campaign is great. I think it's much needed. We've kind of talked about it on this program over the past couple of years from time to time. I just don't think you can go to one group of the industry and say, hey, you have to fund this, whether it's the breeders or anybody else.
Yep. Agree.
Nick Zito's back with us again for Right or Wrong next Saturday morning. Guys, we have one more quick topic to get to before you make your final point of the week. We're down to about 4 minutes here in the program. Yesterday marked the 86-year anniversary of Manowar's 21st birthday celebration, and that was broadcast nationally via radio from Faraway Farm, where he stood at stud. It occurred March 29th, 1938. If you were in charge of national radio programming, and I might just know a guy, which horse's birthday celebration would you want to hear broadcast the most? Tim, which one?
For real?
For real.
Well, other than this show, I don't know if there's any good radio on for horse racing. And I think it would be, it's kind of tough to listen to a radio broadcast of a birthday for a horse. What are they going to do?
I mean, they did it for Man of War.
And Man of War, but Man of War was, he was almost human. But, I mean, this to have a horse, I don't understand how they could do it. They're going to say, well, here comes Seeking the Gold out now, and he's going to blow out his candles and eat his cake.
Sing happy birthday to him.
Yeah, but I don't buy it. I mean, if it's for TV, fine for a birthday. But I think you got to see it rather than hear it. You don't even know if they're even doing it because you can't see it. You got to be able to see it. You got to be able to see him open in his presence, have the grooms and everyone out there. But I don't know if it works on radio.
No, but Secretariat's birthday should be a national holiday. Everybody in the game knows Secretariat. Everybody outside the game knows Secretariat. But a little tidbit on that part, I might have said it before on here, but the happy birthday song, do you know where it was written?
Mm-mm.
Louisville, no. Kentucky, about a mile from the Little Dumas House by two ladies that ran a school up there. It's still a visitor site, and it's about a mile from where I live. The happy birthday song from Louisville, Kentucky.
See, people learn things on the show every week.
Yes.
Every week. That may be a Jeopardy question. Somebody will look smart.
I love it. I can tell you this. I probably would have listened to Holy Bull's birthday celebration broadcast on radio. That's how much of a Holy Bull freak I was back in the day. I'm pretty sure I would have listened to that on radio. There's no doubt about it. All right, time to move on to our final segment of the show because we are running out of time. It is when Dale and Tim get to make their final point of the week. Next week, this will be the West Point of the week, by the way, all the way through the Triple Crown. So looking forward to getting them back in the mix. But Tim, why don't you take it first? What is your final point of the week, my friend?
We are turning the calendar to April after tomorrow. And in 18 days, April 18th, the Oklahoma training track opens up, which is always one of my favorite days of the year because that means the horses are coming back to Saratoga. Can't wait for that.
Well, I'm going to say today's the best day of racing that we've had all year. A lot of good races, a lot of interesting horses running. And then tomorrow, get in the car, drive to Kentucky, you'll be at Churchill Downs on Monday. My year officially starts. Can't wait.
Fantastic. Safe travels, Dale. Timmy, appreciate it. Enjoy the races this weekend. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Thanks,
see you.
All right, we're going to do it all over again next weekend here on HRN. If you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim discuss, email the topic to me. We'll get it worked into the program. That's mike@horseracingradio.net. I Ask, They Answer is presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. I am back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, where racing comes to talk.